entitled Garcia. Mr. Schultz?
Don't we have a...
There's one. Oh, I'm sorry. My mistake. I these cards got stuck. Sorry. Next is United States versus Williams. So, Mr. Camarena?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Government Counsel. My name is Paul Camarena. I'm the Court-appointed Counsel for Mr. Tyrone Williams, the appellant in this case. Case law from this Court is very clear. When the District Court makes an oral pronouncement from the bench, that pronouncement will control over a subsequent inconsistent written order. So the question in this case is whether the subsequent written order is inconsistent from the District Court's oral pronouncement. During the sentencing hearing in this case, the District Court stated that the, and I quote, the regular terms of supervised release will apply. To our surprise, after the District Court issued its order, more than the regular terms of conditions of supervised release were included. I understood the regular terms of supervised release to mean that the defendant may not commit another state or federal crime, that the defendant must notify probation about a change in address, that the defendant must submit to drug testing. However, the District Court, on top of that, added conditions that were not mentioned during the sentencing hearing. The District Court now purports to required the defendant to complete a GED.
Why didn't he challenge these conditions the last time he appealed?
The last time he appealed, Your Honor, he submitted a brief pursuant to Dorsey, where this court agreed that it would be remanded. I would submit that pursuant to Dorsey, the District Court had the discretion to hold an entirely new sentencing hearing, and within that discretion, the District Court could have imposed a lower sentence but more onerous conditions of supervised release or a higher sentence or the same sentence with the same conditions of.
But I don't understand. Why didn't he challenge these conditions in his first appeal?
Your Honor, I would submit that the Dorsey challenge included.
Why? What? But he didn't. He didn't say anything about them, did he?
No, Your Honor. He appealed pursuant to Dorsey.
Well, why didn't he?
Well, because I think Dorsey would encompass the conditions.
Why?
Of
sorry.
Often enough, this is a little bit of an echo of our first argument this morning, but about the problems about the scope of a remand for resentencing. At least with the first case, we're ahead of the game since this is the first appeal. Now we're dealing with a second appeal, and we have to try to figure out the scope of the prior remand. I understand your point about the difference between oral and written pronouncements of sentence, and if this were the first appeal, you're obviously correct. But since the only thing the district judge had to do was take into account the Fair Sentencing Act under Dorsey, why did he? You're saying there was an obligation to go through all the financial terms, all the special release, supervised release terms, everything all over again, when all he had to do was correct one term.
Well, Your Honor, I would submit that one term that he would have corrected necessarily would have affected the term of supervised release and also the conditions of supervised release. The only other case that the parties have been able to cite that's directly on point was a case pursuant to Booker, where a court of appeals allowed an appellant to challenge the terms of supervised release pursuant to Booker. And even though he appealed, in this case, Mr. Williams appealed pursuant to Dorsey, it was our understanding that a Dorsey remand would include an entirely new sentencing hearing. Certainly during the sentencing hearing, the district court...
Why? It's such an inefficient way to proceed. If you have a concern, you'd want to present it in the first appeal so that you wouldn't have two appeals, right? There would not be a second appeal if the first time these issues had been raised and the court would have ruled on them, and that would be the end of it.
Your Honor, that's true.
What's your next appeal going to be? You just keep going, right? Every time there's a remand, say, oh, by the way, we're just complaining now about these three conditions of supervised release. On remand, maybe we'll complain about another one and then have another appeal. That's the logic of your position.
I would respectfully say, Your Honor, that our position was simply that Dorsey would encompass, of course, the term of incarceration, but when a district court is considering the term of incarceration, it also considers the term of supervised release and the conditions of supervised release.
Your best argument would be, in essence, that on a Dorsey remand, the district judge ought to be able to look at the entire package of the sentencing.
Yes.
And that these other things can open up. And then there may well be circumstances where that's appropriate. It doesn't seem like that's the way this was handled, though, by anybody.
Well, I think it was, Your Honor, because during the sentencing hearing, the district court mentioned a lot of these factors. It mentioned Mr. Williams' need to get treatment. It mentioned Mr. Williams'.
But these are independent points, which you could have raised in the previous appeal, saying there's more that's wrong with this sentence than the, you know, missing the Fair Sentencing Act. These conditions of supervised release are no good, right? Do it in one appeal rather than coming back time and time again.
It could have been raised that way, Your Honor.
You'll probably say the next time if we remanded and the judge corrected these what you consider errors of supervised release, you'll come back and say, oh, and by the way, there are other errors in the supervised release part of the sentence.
Well, an appellant could not make that argument unless it were frivolous, and I don't think in this case it is frivolous. I think that there is an argument to be made that Dorsey includes an entirely new sentencing hearing, including the terms of supervisory.
You understand that you've created two appeals unnecessarily because you could have raised all these points the first time, saying there's more that's wrong with the sentence than the Fair Sentencing Act.
Let me just see if I understand this, but I understand your argument not to be that these are unreasonable.
No, Your Honor. I think that
your argument is that there was a new procedural error in the second appeal, which could easily be fixed on remand. But I got to say, it's not a very compelling argument to me, given the limited scope of the remand for Dorsey. But if you're not challenging the reasonableness of the terms,
The government is correct. I'm not challenging the reasonableness of the terms. I think the district court had the discretion to do this. The question is whether he actually did this during the sentencing hearing. In other cases like this, this court hasn't even remanded the case, and I don't think that that's even necessary. This court has taken it upon itself by simply enforcing the oral pronouncement, and I think that would be an appropriate avenue in this case.
Was there any discussion of these terms by counsel in the resentencing?
Well, these issues were discussed, but the terms were not mentioned, no.
Okay. But the judge was not asked to impose different terms, was he?
No, Your Honor.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Camarena.
Thank you,
Your Honor. Mr. Hartzler?
Again, I'm willing to yield my time back to the court unless there are questions.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Camarena. You were appointed, were you not? Well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of you.